Good morning, ECCC family. Good morning, extended family, and welcome to week number three of our online services. We are thankful that you've chosen to worship with us today, and we hope that you're able to just feel a little more connected today. Know that there are a lot of people watching this video right now, and a lot of people are worshiping with you right now. Even though you can't see them, we are all worshiping together. So take comfort in that. And don't forget that we will be doing a Bible study every day as well. That happens at 9 o'clock every morning on our Facebook page. So make sure you go there and check out our Bible study at 9 o'clock on our East Columbus Christian Church Facebook page. Today we are going to continue in our series that we started last week that we are calling Devoted. This is a series that was born out of discussion among the staff and the elders as to what's our church all about? What is the vision of our church? And so what we've decided to do is go back and look at the early church and see what the early church was devoted to, because by looking at the first church, we know that that's the way that God started the church, and that's the way He wanted the church. And so we figure that's where it was in its purest form, was when it started. And so we want to go back to the first century church and look at the things that were important to them, the things that they were devoted to. And so we're using a singular verse as our guide through this series. And that verse is found in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And that passage tells us that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And it says that they steadfastly continued in these things. Last week we talked about the apostles' teaching, and really that's scripture. That's what we're referring to there. And so we need to be devoted to God's word. We need to be devoted to scripture so that we're not tossed about by a lot of the false teachings and different doctrines that are out there that do not align with scripture. So we need to be devoted to that. This week, we're going to turn our attention to the fact that the early church was devoted to fellowship. Now, before we dive into what that means for us today, I want us to take a look at our vision statement, and we can read this together. In fact, if you don't mind, I know it's a little awkward. You're probably sitting there maybe with family members and a little awkward to read this out loud, but would you just read it out loud with me? I think that it resonates a little better and maybe helps us remember it a little bit better. But here's the vision of ECCC, and please read this with me. We want to be a community of followers devoted to connecting and serving all people through the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's just read that again one more time. A community of followers devoted to connecting and serving all people through the good news of Jesus Christ. So if our vision is to connect people and to serve people by sharing the good news, then fellowship is a must. We need to be like the early church, and we need to devote ourselves to fellowship. And I know that's very ironic right now in this time of social distancing, in this time when we're supposed to be separated from one another. But when the dust settles and we're able to get back to meeting together in our house of worship, then we can devote ourselves to that. We can commit to being together, because if you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, then fellowship is an absolute necessity. It's a must. If you're not devoted to fellowship in the church, then you're missing out. I've seen analogies used before about a Christian who doesn't have a church, a Christian who doesn't have a church family, who doesn't fellowship with other Christians. And it's been compared to a football player without a team, or a soldier without a platoon, a tuba player without an orchestra. You ever heard a tuba solo? Have any of you ever bought a tuba solo CD? Probably not something you enjoy listening to all that much. So a tuba player without an orchestra doesn't work very well. a sheep without a flock. Probably the most understandable and the most biblical analogy is you're a child without a family. If you call yourself a Christian and you are not fellowshipping with other Christians, you don't have a church home, then you're kind of like a child without a family. God has created us with this sense of belonging. He has wired within us this need for fellowship, this need for relationship, this need for community. And I think that's why this is such a trying time for so many people right now. Not only are people fearful for many reasons, we're not getting the fellowship that we just naturally crave. We're not having that interaction with people that God wired us to have. And I got to tell you, I miss you all. This is our third week that we've done online services, but this is the fourth week since I've seen any of you, because the week before this craziness all started was Nick and Macy's wedding, and I took a vacation that Sunday knowing I'd want to recoup from the wedding. So it's been 4 weeks since I've been around you, and I'm feeling that. And I know a lot of you are feeling that as well. It's tough on people right now. I've been encouraged by the number of people who have texted me, who have called me, who have sent out Facebook messages checking on us. And then also just saying how much they miss the church. And so we need that fellowship. Even the most introverted of people have that need to be around other people at times. And so we need to practice that in the church. But what does that look like? What does fellowship in the church look like? I heard about a first grader who, or a first grade teacher who was teaching on the subject of all of the religions of the world. And so she encouraged her class to bring in something that represented their religion. And so the first little boy stands up in the front of the class and he holds up a Star of David. And he said, my dad's Jewish and this is his Star of David. And then a little girl stands up in front of the class and she holds up a necklace that was a crucifix, had Jesus still on the cross. And it was a crucifix, said, we're Catholic and this represents our religion. Then another little girl stood up and she held up a casserole dish and said, I go to the Christian church. This represents my faith. Well, I want you to understand that fellowship is so much more than just a great meal. It's more than coffee and donuts. Even those things are awesome. Trust me, I love them. Fellowship is more than that. And those things help us to fellowship. But what did Luke mean in chapter 2, verse 42, when he said they devoted themselves to fellowship? Why was the early church so devoted to this? Why would they want to take up so much time and being around one another? Well, when we're talking to people about becoming a part of East Columbus Christian Church, we tell people they need to be devoted to fellowship. But why is that? Well, first of all, we need to be devoted to the fellowship of the church because the church is the bride of Christ, okay? The church is the bride of Christ. Think about it this way for just a moment. When a man stands up in front of his family and he stands up in front of his friends and he stands up in front of God and his church family and it's his wedding day, and he commits to his bride on his wedding day. He says, from this day forward, I promise to love, honor, and cherish you and be devoted to you for the rest of my life. And he'd better be devoted to her, you know. He's entered into a covenant with his bride. When we stand before God and we confess Jesus Christ, when we stand up before our church brothers and our church sisters, and we confess Jesus as the Christ, and we're baptized into Him, we are devoting ourselves to be a part of the bride of Christ, and we need to be devoted to her forever. And as a part of that devotion, we have fellowship. I get a little disturbed when I hear people say, you know, I'm okay with Jesus, I just don't like the church all that much. You know, that'd be like me going up to somebody and say, "Hey, Joe, you know what? I like you okay, but I really don't like your wife all that much." You know, we might think that of some people, but we're never going to say that, right? You wouldn't say that. Well, maybe some would, but for some one to say, "You know, I'm fine with Jesus. I really don't like the church." That's basically telling Jesus, "We don't like your bride. We don't like your wife all that much, Jesus. We like you, but we really don't like your bride. Jesus, we're attracted to you, but you know what? Your bride's kind of ugly. You know? Can you imagine saying that to a guy? Can you imagine walking up to someone and say, 'Hey, you look nice today, but you know what? I just saw your bride out in the hallway. She doesn't look very good.'" You know? Nobody would ever say that. You know as well as I do, people within the church, we're not always pretty. We don't always act like we're supposed to act. There are many times when, because we're sinful, we do the wrong things. There's many times when we don't act like we should. There's many times when we hurt people's feelings. There's many times when maybe we talk about people behind their backs, or maybe we say things we shouldn't say to their face, and maybe we just out and out lie sometimes. And sometimes we're ugly. But Jesus died for us so that we could appear as beautiful. Jesus died for us so that in the Father's eyes we would appear as perfect and as radiant and as pure and as spotless, just like a bride on her wedding day. He took our sin for us on Himself. He placed that sin upon Himself, and then He took His righteousness and He placed it on us so that we could appear to be perfect and beautiful. The late, great Wayne Smith used to say, "You know, in all my years of performing wedding ceremonies, I never saw an ugly bride. Not one time did I ever see an ugly bride. Had a couple close calls, but never saw one in my lifetime." There's just something about a bride on her wedding day that's just absolutely beautiful, just radiates with beauty. She glows with love for the groom. In a similar way, I think this is what Jesus sees when He looks at us. You know, He looks at His bride, the church, and He sees us as beautiful. He sees us as spotless, even though many times we're not. There's a passage of Scripture that proves that, Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Now understand, Galatians, most theologians believe that Galatians was probably written 20 to 30 years after the resurrection of Jesus, probably 20 to 30 years after the church started on the day of Pentecost. And so we're just 20 to 30 years into the history of the church, and Paul finds it necessary to write this letter to the church at Galatia, beginning in verse 19 and going through verse 21. "The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." Now notice that Paul says, "I warn you like I did before." This is the second time that Paul has had to get on the church at Galatia for acting like they had, you know. They just wouldn't stop doing what the apostle Paul told them they needed to stop doing. So when I read this, I think, man, some of those Christians at the church of Galatia, they were ugly. They weren't doing the things that they were supposed to be doing. I read a book one time that had an inscription of a medieval church where they wrote, "The church is something like Noah's Ark. If it weren't for the storm outside, you couldn't stand the smell inside." Now, why would a church say that? Why would an early church say that, "Well, if it wasn't so bad outside, I wouldn't even belong to the church," you know? Why would they say that? Well, sometimes I think sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes we do things that just stink. Sometimes we don't act like we're supposed to act. The church is, again, if I can quote the great Wayne Smith, it's It's not a hotel for the saints. We're not perfect. It's a hospital for sinners, you know? And you would think that even though Jesus died to wash away our sins and save us, that we would act a little bit better. But what happens is when we surrender our life to Christ and we're baptized into Him, we're born again. We're new. We're like newborn babies. And the problem is some never grow past that. And so they do things that they shouldn't do necessarily. Because the problem with babies is this. They're cute and they're cuddly most of the time. But they also cry a lot. And they also make a lot of messes. Sometimes those messes stink. And as they get older, they get into their terrible twos. And then threes, really, I'll just be honest with you, they're not a whole lot better. And then they get older and just a whole other set of problems. I like what Mark Twain said one time. He said, when a child reaches age 12, he should be kept in a barrel and fed through the knot hole. And when they turn 16, plug up the knot hole. Church members can be like that. Church members sometimes never grow past the day that they were born into Christ, and they continue to be immature, and they continue to be baby Christians, and sometimes they make messes, and sometimes they cry a lot, and sometimes the church isn't beautiful to the world because of that. Sometimes the church isn't as beautiful to the outside people as it is to Jesus. But here's the comforting thing to know. Jesus knew it was going to be that way. Jesus knew that we were going to sin, but He chose to die for us anyway. And He built His church on people that He knew were going to cry a lot, and they were going to make messes, and sometimes they were going to be ugly. He knew we were going to act this way, and yet He chose to die for us. Now, why would He do that? Why would Jesus do that, knowing that we would turn our backs, knowing that we wouldn't do the things that He would want us to do? Why would He choose to die for us? And why would He say, I want you to be a part of a fellowship of believers? I want you to be devoted to this fellowship of believers, even though they act like that. Why would He do that? It's because we benefit from just being together. You know, we're like two men in a boat going the same direction. Okay? Two fellows on a ship. That's why it's called fellowship. Now listen, don't sit there and go, oh gosh, Ron, that is so corny. You're right, it's corny, it's cheesy. Maybe it's not a great analogy. But here's the deal, you're not going to forget it. It's so cheesy and it's so corny, you're going to remember it. Think of that, two fellows on a ship going in the same direction. There's power in fellowship. When we're pulling together, when we're unified, when we're going in the same direction, it's a powerful thing. And people are one to the Lord whenever that happens. And I promise you, even if we stink sometimes, even if we don't do things right, it's way better inside the fellowship of the church than anything that we can get outside of the church. And so it's going to benefit you, and it's going to benefit everyone else here in the family at ECCC. And that's the second reason you need to be devoted to fellowship. Be devoted to fellowship because the church needs you, okay? The church needs you. And why does the church need you? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're told beginning in verse 12, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And then Paul goes on to list all of these different parts of the body and how all of these different parts are essential. And he says, now, you are the body. You're the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Each one of you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, if you've been baptized into Him and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have been given a spiritual gift. Not only were you given the gift of the Holy Spirit to live inside of you when you were baptized into Him, the Bible says that you were also given a spiritual gift that you are to use to build up the body of Christ. You know, and we need to be devoted to that. We need to be devoted to using that spiritual gift within the body of Christ so that the body of Christ can function better than it could before. Look at what Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 15 through 20. He says, "If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body,' it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body,' it is not for that reason any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts of the body just as He wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body." Listen to me, Christian. You are an absolute essential to the body of Christ. And He's given you a gift. And because He's given you that gift, you need to re-gift it to Him. You need to offer it back to Him and allow Him to use that gift within the fellowship of believers. Devote yourself to the fellowship, to using that gift so the body might be built up. I think it's an important concept for us to grasp. Let me ask you a question. What happens when a part of your body decides to quit working or it doesn't work like it used to? You know, now that I'm 51 years old, I certainly understand this a lot more than I did when I was 20 years old. You know, its parts just don't work like they used to, and they wear down, and some just wear out all together. The body does not function like it should. You know? Let's say your eyes start to go bad, or your ears quit working. What would happen? Well, your life would be different. You'd still live, but you'd do things a lot differently, wouldn't you? I mean, you'd take longer to do simple tasks that you'd done easily for years. It would be a greater effort to get things done. If we're not using our bodies and we're not giving them as a gift to the Lord and we're not using them within the fellowship of believers, then we're hurting the body and the body's not going to function like it should. Verse 18 tells us, "But as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts of the body just as He wanted." You were placed here by God. God has a plan for you. He has a job for you to do. And ever since He placed you here, He's wanted you to do that job. And if you just decide to just come in and soak up what we can offer in a service and you don't use the gifts that God has given you, then the body's not going to work as efficiently as it should. The body's going to limp along sometimes. You're not going to be as fulfilled, and the body's going to suffer as well because you're not doing your part. I think one of the things that has been encouraging about this pandemic, all this stuff that's going around with the coronavirus, is watching the unity that has happened within the country. There's been great division as well. We've done some things politically that are head scratchers sometimes. But there's been great unity among Americans. You know, we see things like people taking sidewalk chalk and writing encouraging messages on the pavement of maybe a hospital parking lot. We've seen businesses who normally make cars or other items, even before a presidential order, stop production and start making ventilators and start making masks. We see people doing Facebook Live music or encouraging words, just anything that they can do. And it's been uplifting in this difficult time. And I was thinking, what is it about people that are causing them to pull together during this time? I think it's because we realize that we are facing a common enemy. We're facing COVID-19, the coronavirus. You know, that's the enemy. And we've seen some pretty cool things because all of these people have band together. We've kind of pulled together as Americans because we're fighting this common enemy, and we've seen some remarkable things from some amazing human beings. But imagine what could be done in the church if Christians would just band together and fight our common enemy, Satan, instead of fighting with one another. You know? If we just band together and understand that there's an enemy out there that is seeking to destroy us, imagine what could happen if we were all together in that type of fellowship, rowing in our boat in the same direction, fighting this enemy. You know, a lot of Americans have been able to do amazing things because of the human spirit, I think. But listen, God has given us the Holy Spirit. That's greater than any human spirit that we can see. He's given us the Holy Spirit to accomplish great things for His kingdom, to lead people to Jesus Christ. And He's placed that within you. And He's ready to deploy you for battle against the enemy. And He does that primarily through the church, through the devoted fellowship of one another. A popular hashtag right now is, "We're all in this together." That's never been truer than it is right now in the Church of Jesus Christ. We're all in this together. And when the coronavirus is done, I'm telling you, church, we've still got an enemy out there. His name is Satan. And he's going to come after you. And if you're out there on your own, it kind of makes me think of you know, maybe a sheep that's off by itself, not protected by the rest of the herd. And if you're out there by yourself, not protected by the rest of the herd, then you're a much easier target for the wolves, for Satan to get at you. So if you're not devoted to the fellowship of believers, I pray that you are. I pray that you understand we're all in this together. You would devote yourselves to the fellowship of believers. If it's not at East Columbus Christian Church, then devote yourself to the church that you attend. I know we have many people that are watching that aren't a part of our regular fellowship here. We welcome you, and I encourage you, when this is done, get involved in your church and be devoted to your fellowship. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ now, when the dust settles, before the dust settles, though, we don't have to wait till the dust settles. If you're not a believer and you want to become a believer in Jesus Christ, then we encourage you to reach out to us. We have contact information for you here on the screen. If you want to confess your sins and repent, or you want to confess Jesus as the Christ and repent of your sins and be baptized into Him and be devoted to that fellowship, if you want to do that, then follow this contact information that we have on the screen for you right now. You can go to eastccc.net and reach us through that. You can call the church office at 812-372-3789, or you can message us on Facebook. We'd love to talk to you about what it means to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. And don't wait. Don't wait for this to be over. Our baptistry is always full. If you're sitting out there and you want to make that decision today, get in touch with us. We'd love to help you with that decision. I think it's incredible that we live in a day and age when we're able to get our videos out and still get the gospel message out there, even though we're not available or we're not able to be in our church building fellowshipping together. So again, when the dust settles, make that commitment to get back into being devoted to your church family and your fellowship. If you have a decision that you want to make, then we certainly would encourage you to make that decision. Thank you all for joining us. We encourage you to maybe share this video with someone that needs to hear it, and watch it yourself again if you need to hear it, but understand that God loves you, and He wants you to be a part of His fellowship of believers And we pray that you would you'd consider that. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your love. Lord Jesus, I thank you for being willing to be the groom to a bride that is not perfect. Who sometimes, Lord, just in all honesty, is ugly and stinks. But I'm thankful that you don't see us that way. I'm thankful that you see us as pure, as perfect, as radiant. And Lord, help us to live up to what you see in us. Help us to live up to the potential that is in each of our lives and the potential that is in this devoted fellowship of believers. And Lord, I pray for everyone who's going through this difficult time right now. I pray for those who are shut in. We've got so many right now that are just not able to leave. And rightfully so. That's the way it should be right now. I pray for those who are lonely. I pray for those who just need to feel your presence even greater. Lord, I pray for peace that passes all understanding. And Lord, I pray for those that don't know you. And I pray that they might consider that. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.